You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 42, Taking Them Down. Where has this year gone? It's November already. Yeah, November 9th, geez. And even though I've seen enough Christmas decorations, don't get me started. I'm just not ready for this year to end yet, so still a lot to do. The cold temperatures, that's another thing I'm not ready for yet. So, this is not my rant. That's coming up after the news, which right now, let's start the news. Cops stealing and sharing naked photos of women in custody is a game. The fuck? So, all right. This is one of the most disturbing things that I've read regarding invasion of online privacy. Okay, so, some time ago, I covered in one of my episodes how people were stealing photos or hacking into iCloud accounts or whatever to steal naked pictures, nude photos of celebrities. Well, so here's the rub on this one. So cops stop a female driver. They book her, take her in. They take her phone, and if it has a password, they have her enter the password. Then they scour the phone for any photos of nude pictures of her and her friends. Then they email. Yeah, these are cops. These are officers of the law we're talking about here. So they email or text the photos to themselves or their colleagues and fellow officers, and they call it a game. They try to find, they share these nude pictures of the people they're arresting, and whatever reason they're arresting them, disorder or DUI or whatever it is, and so they call it a game. And then they even get pissed if they don't find any nude or naked pictures on the woman's phone, So anyway, so how they got caught on this one here. So one woman had found out after her iCloud synced iPad showed naked pictures of herself were emailed to an unknown email address. Oh, So in other words, the cop probably on her phone, her iPhone, went through and, emailed the pictures, but then erased them from the phone. Well, just because they're erased from the phone, it doesn't mean they're always, it goes and gets synced with the iPad. So that's how she found out about it. So the officer admitted to sending these pictures in this particular case. But, this is more than just one issue. There's cases across the country where this is happening. So I call it a sick and twisted game of going too far. So what kind of power do these police officers have in their quest to get naked photos of women and girls and then sending them to each other? Just so irritated that this abuse of power is happening. I have negative respect for any officer of the law who plays this game, quote-unquote game. Other officers have come forward about the practice after getting caught. So let's hope this practice goes away soon. I know it's probably still going to happen on the back end. It's going to go underground, so to speak. But something needs to help eliminate it on the forefront. Just a sick and wrong violation of privacy. Currency reports unauthorized access to email address. So a couple weeks ago, or maybe it's been a little longer, but I think it's just a couple weeks ago, this new online payment system or mobile payment system had a breach where unauthorized access to email addresses happened. Someone broke in and, copied email addresses and started, I would assume that they were going to distribute them for some other reason, usually spam. So this is just a long line of issues that this new payment system is having. So the first, retailers shut down their NFC systems so that Apple Pay users can't use them. Oh, yeah. So they don't want Apple phones, using them. So Currency, it's a play on words, so it's current and then the number C, but it's pronounced currency, locks in retailers to 3-year exclusive details. It's a complicated mess of using a QR code and only debit card, so no credit card supported, just your debit card, and then it stores your social security number and PIN numbers in the cloud. That can't be good. Oh, yeah, so let's see. They broke in, stole email addresses. What's next? So this breach here, you know, I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a long list of negative things from this thing. It's a, you know, so in my opinion, from what I've read about it, just say no to currency. It is the DivX of the mobile payment system. It's a money grab. This is someone, you know, I mean, there's a system of people that are trying to, you know, bring this forward. I mean, using a QR code to make a purchase, you know, I mean, really, you can't just, what NFC works really well. I've not used it myself, but I mean, I've seen how it works. I mean, you don't even have to turn your phone on, don't have to search for anything. You turn your phone on, comes up, ask you what credit card you want to use, and you're done. That's it. This one. Generate a QR code, then you have to make sure your debit card's in place, and then to store your debit card, you need your, you know, social security number and PIN numbers, and no, what a mess. So it's sad to see something like this, that, you know, that someone's spending all this money developing. There's too many security holes for users to be worrying over. This email address breach doesn't help their cause. iTunes and Google Play Store reviews are one star. You know, people are just, you know, for the apps that you have for your phones. So most users trashed how complicated it is to use. Well, I mean, go through the steps. It's ridiculous, you know. So don't sign up. Don't use it. It's not worth the risk. Texas voter ID law is disenfranchising those who used to vote. So let's say that you're a 74-year-old grandmother who has voted for years, has never had an issue. This year, you go to the polling place and you are turned away because your driver's license expired a few months ago, or your name changed due to a divorce, or the address doesn't match exactly. So this is all related to a new voter ID laws that Texas passed. So why do they pass these laws? Well, all in the name of preventing voter fraud. Oh, my God, voter fraud. People are stealing the votes by millions. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. It only happens less than 0.01% of the time. So, I mean, there's so many rare cases of voter fraud. You know, I mean, you know, voter fraud's bad, you know, and when it happens, it is bad. But you don't need to change laws that disenfranchise current voters just to prevent such a, you know, minuscule number of things. There's better ways of addressing the different voter fraud issues that happen. So this law, so Texas is always required an ID to vote. So, you know, 74-year-old grandmother shows her ID in the past, no issues, you know. Might have been, you know, valid, or, you know, it hadn't probably expired before, but now it's expired, and, you know, I get what people are trying to do, but all in the name of voter fraud, give me a break, you know? No, you know what this whole thing is trying to do? This isn't trying to stop voter fraud. This is stopping longtime voters from voting. It's affecting those innocent people who, you know, for various reasons don't have, you know, the exact ID, you know? You know, and you know, before there wasn't an issue when ID was presented. Why is it now, you know? And so these users, so the voters are trying to go and get their current ID. So they take documentation like birth certificates or bills or other bank statements or other things that prove who they are. And it's not enough. You know, they're taking stacks of documents into these offices, and the offices are turning them away as well because they don't have the proper documentation. It's ridiculous, you know? So, you know, all right, you know, I've heard the argument. Well, you need a current ID to board a plane. You're voting. You're not trying to board a plane, or you're not trying to get a drink at a bar. You know, you're going to a voting booth. Voting is a civil duty. It is a civic right. I mean, stop worrying about voter fraud. If there's voter fraud, address it on an individual basis. But stop disenfranchising these voters. These laws are only serving one purpose, and that's preventing voters from voting. Buried in a sentence. Has nothing to do with voter fraud. This week's rant: dry weather means Carmex is needed for my nose. So Carmex is that, you know, it's like a lip gloss, you know, it, or not lip gloss, a like a chapstick, you know, lip moisture. So this is something that I've dealt with every fall to winter transition since I've been in Utah, which has been over 26 years now. So sometime around the official start to fall, the weather here in Utah gets extra dry. It gets worse as winter approaches and the colder temperatures take up residence for many months. You know, I can't keep enough lotion on my hands, you know, and it's worse for my nose, where I do get nosebleeds often. So to combat this, I carry one of those little tubes of Carmex, a little yellow tube, with me most places, and I line the inside of my nostrils with it several times a day. Yes, that's odd, but, you know, I can tell you, since I've started doing this, it's reduced how many nosebleeds I get, you know. Sleeping at night before I go to bed, it helps me get through the night without dry nose or waking up, you know, which I have woken up with nosebleeds before in the middle of the night. So, you know, it only takes a few minutes to just kind of taking a little bit of Carmex and line, you know, putting it inside my nose and everything. yes, it does sound odd, but, you know, it's one thing I can do to get through these dry winter months here. This week's shameless plug, Bill Watterson creates a new cartoon for French Comics Festival. So, any of you who don't know who Bill Watterson is, let me give you two words, Calvin and Hobbes. I loved Calvin and Hobbes. From 1985 to 1995, for those 10 years, it was a great comic. I mean, Sunday comic, he had tons of books and everything. I have pretty much all the books. I think there's only one or two that I don't have at this point. So it stands out as my favorite comic outside of superheroes. So, you know, back, you know, in November, actually it's been, has it been 9 years already? Anyway, so Bill Watterson walked away from the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip back in, 9 years ago this month. And, you know, I was sad, you know, I was really sad when it happened, you know, because, you know, he was at the top of his game and he just walked away. And you know, he walked away for various reasons. You know, a lot of it was syndication with the comics companies, you know, those who just, you know, the comics distributors and everything. So, you know, like I said, you know, at least we got 10 years, you know, of comics with the, you know, about a boy and his tiger, his imaginary tiger. So, last week, imagine my elation when I saw a new comic that he did for the 2015 Angoulême International Comics Festival in France. I probably didn't say that right. So, the comic is attached to the show notes here for this episode, so you can, you know, look at it, and it's kind of cool. You can see his signature design and work and how he, you know, how he used to draw Calvin and Hobbes, because they're like, look at the eyes when you go look at the comic, look at the eyes, they're very much like Calvin's eyes. So he's very, you know, it's obviously, you know, him. So, you know, is this a return for Bill or just a one-time entry? Well, I guess we'll see, but I can tell you right now, don't expect Calvin and Hobbes to ever make a return. You know, he's done, and he was done then, and he's done still. So, and you know what? I am okay with that. Long live the classic Calvin and Hobbes. Please let it go. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening. And as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.